Father, just before we turn to His Word, let me just bow our heads for a moment. Father God, we thank Thee for the words we've been singing. We thank You, Lord, for Thy mercy and for Thy grace. We thank You, Lord, for every good gift that has come down from Thee. And, O God, we just look to Thee tonight. We pray, God, Lord, I commit myself to Thee tonight, Lord. Let nothing be said that shouldn't be said. But, O God, let Your name be exalted tonight and glorified, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And, Father, as we stand here, not in our own name nor by our own power, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we take authority over every work of the devil tonight. Yes. And we bind every spirit, Lord, that would be contrary to Thy word. Yes. We bind everything that would interrupt Thy people. Father, we pray tonight, God, that Thy power and Thy presence will rest upon us tonight, and that Your name will be glorified tonight. And Father, that we might grant wisdom tonight for the preaching of Thy word. In the precious name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. I want us to turn in our Bible to Matthew 25. And I just want to read some verses here in Matthew 25. Praise the Lord tonight for His mercy. I'm sure we're all well. We're all well acquainted with this. And 25 tonight, about the 10 virgins. Praise the Lord. On Matthew 25, it says, starting at verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth for to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamp, in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out for to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Nay, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the doors were shut. And afterwards came the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verse 13 says, Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And we'll end the reading at that verse 13. You may be seated. And we know that God, Lord, is blessing to His word tonight. Praise God, you know. I don't know why you maybe sometimes you put the TV on to watch, what do they call it, TBN or something like that there. And, you know, there's strange things going on. Well, in one way they're strange, and in another way they're not. Because you see women coming on with their hair clipped off, cut off, and wearing trousers. And they're coming on and they're prophesying. And they're prophesying about the great revival that God's going to send. And you know, I believe that there's going to be a move of God. All right. But I want to say this to you tonight. Now you might think I'm up here tonight. I'm not. Listen. I'm not here to criticize these people. I'm just going to say something to you tonight. I want to, not more or less like preaching tonight, but just to talk to you for a wee while. And you know, John said about all nights of prayer, and coming out maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, many, not one night, but many a night, it was daylight. 7 o'clock in the morning, and after 7 in the morning, and praying that God would move. And all men praying that God would move. And you know something. God did move.
Amen.
You know what took place? They never seen it. They dismissed it. We said, oh no, that's not of God. God didn't do this, God doesn't do that. That happened in the Old Testament. Won't happen again. But you know, I'm going to say it tonight again about the wee man that preached. He says what God ever does once, he'll do it again.
Amen.
And he'll never change the way he does it. He'll always do it the same way he done it before. And you know, if you have to repent of your sins and be washed in the blood to be saved, that's the same way that you must be saved tonight.
Amen.
Not no different way. You only to look at this country of ours. You know, I remember as a young man going to Ian Paisley's meetings, going down to the Orange Hall on a Sunday afternoon. I've said this here before, I'm going to say it tonight again. And going down, and the meeting was at 3 o'clock, and if you hadn't went down after dinner time, you wouldn't have got a seat in the Orange Hall. The Orange Hall was full, packed out full. And you know, when Ian Paisley got up, I can remember some of the sermons he preached. You know, he preached about where they beat the apostles and put them in prison and held them in the prison, and then they brought them out and they thought they'd slip them off and nobody would know about it. But it didn't work out that way. You know, he preached about those things.
Man.
And you know, you could have listened to Ian Paisley all evening. It didn't seem long. It only seemed a short time that he preached to me. It never felt long. If it was an hour, it didn't feel like an hour. If it was an hour and a half, it didn't feel like that length of time. But there was a quickening on the preaching. And God split them men out of an organization. And you know, don't you think the night, I know that there are places in heaven. Now, I'm not saying, speaking again the man, don't misunderstand me tonight, and if this is recorded, don't anybody that hears misunderstand me are. But let me say this tonight, by looking around me on what I can see, they just went back to what they come out of.
Yes.
And you may say, oh no, brother. But I'm telling you now, on the political world is just the same thing. Just what's the same thing. They're going to go straight back to what they come from.
Amen.
And then all the wheels are set in motion tonight for them to do it.
Amen.
And you hear all this crying about the European Union and all this crying here. You know, I went one time, I said it here before, I just want to say it tonight to you. I went one time, I was always interested in going to hear a man that was preaching about the coming of the Lord. And I went to hear this man, and he was preaching and giving a testimony. And he said the reason that Germany didn't bother invading England was that all the gold reserve in England was took to Fort Knox in America. And if they had invaded England, there was no gold in England, so there was nothing really for them. But you know, I listened to that and I thought, now, I wasn't going to get up and say to the man, no, I don't agree with that. I'm not a scholar of any means. And I wasn't going to, God bless the man. But I didn't really believe that. I believe that he didn't win the war for the simple reason he tried to wipe God's nation out. He tried to wipe the Jews out. He tried not to leave no Jews upon the face of the earth. And he wasn't the first one that tried it. For in Paul's day, you read in the book of Acts about where some Paul met Aquila and Priscilla and them people, and some of them was expelled out of Rome because they were Jews. So you see, it's not a new thing for the Jews to be expelled out of a country that has took place from very early times. So you knew the night that he was going to leave no Jews, 6 million he killed. That we know about. And not only that there, God didn't let him invade England. Not because that England was good. But that was God's purpose that he couldn't invade England. And you know, England on here are really, Northern Ireland is really the last stronghold of the Protestant Reformation. But you see, tonight, the common market, they see whenever they joined the common market and got into the common market, where had they to take all their gold reserves to? Germany. That lost the war. That's where they had to move all their gold reserves to. Now you might say tonight you're talking about political things. Yes, but let me show you something tonight. There's a reason for all this stuff. There's a purpose for all this. And that's where they moved it to. So the country that lost the war dictates to the country that won the war. And they went down and they sat down with Rome. Amen. The Treaty of Rome. Amen. In 57, there they sat right down with Mother Rome. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm given to understand that there's more quotations in the Bible of the second coming of Christ than his first coming.
That's right.
And you see how that these things would be. And how that they would join forces. And how that their common market system would implement the same rules that Hitler was going to implement. And you got that fox over in France. And the German eagle. And the British lion that has his teeth pulled. And the sleeping virgin in the church world. Did you know what she had to want to cry for at the midnight hour? And you know, you might have your own ideas. And you might have this, but God done something this age. Now, I seen men lying on the floor and crying and on their knees crying and praying that God would do something. Then the next thing happened, there was a big box come about this size here by that size. Now you mightn't like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it. And these were books of Brother Branham's messages. So they pulled them into the side, and one man dissected them all. And they wouldn't hand them out to different ones, for they thought they weren't strong enough in their faith. And they were afraid that they said, oh my, there's so many miracles and some great things, but you just not show you, like, if the devil doesn't get you one way, he's going to try and get you another way. So what he'd do, he'd bring you in, he said, well, if you can't receive it, he'll bring you in it and push you out of the RM. False doctrine. False doctrine. Well, they said that was good, but he said that man Branham's a walrus. And he denies eternity. Well, you know today, can I just switch back and forth a wee bit here? The common market has implemented what he calls rules that took over the last emperor of Rome. What was his name that seen the fiery cross? Constantine. They have implemented, they have re-established Constantine's system. Exactly. The rebirth of the Roman Empire in the common market. Well, I say, I don't know, well, I know. And if you read the Bible, you'll know. Because God said about these things. And look what Jesus has said. You know, you realize here, this is not just the writer that says this. This was Jesus that said about these 10 virgins.
Yeah.
Now he said they were virgins. He said 5 was wise and 5 were foolish. And 5 took their lamp. They took their lamps. They had oil in their lamps when they went out. But when their lamps gone out, they didn't take any oil. 5 didn't take any oil. They went out. They had no oil with them. And they said to the ones that had the oil, give us of your oil, lest their lamps go out. But there was a cry to waken up those virgins. And that cry was at the midnight hour. Now I'm giving the longest sound. I don't know how great. I'm saying this now tonight. Maybe it's not altogether just right, but bear with me. I mean this, what I mean to say, I mean it to be right. But what happens just to be not be right, don't be jumping on me saying, like, I believe it's not right. If it's not right, I'll apologize to you for that. But I'm giving the longest sound. That the bridegroom, in the Jewish system, that the bridegroom come always in the middle of the night. He come between what was night and what was morning. And it was like a secret, and he would come and he would take the bride to the house where they were going to be, where the wedding was going to be. That's where he would take her. And there would be a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." And the bride would be prepared to go out to go to the wedding with him. But you know today, how could the bride have been ready? Now listen. One man says, "Oh no, that's the way it is." Another man says, "No, I don't think it's that way. It's this way." So there's a difference in that. But God doesn't have a difference. God's truth doesn't change. God's truth's the same. And now they say, now you know and I know. They didn't really preach what Paul preached them. Now they didn't. Now they made a preach that you need to be saved. But they never preached water baptism. But you say, "Billy, it doesn't matter about water baptism. It matters to do what God says you should do. It matters about it to fulfill God's word." You know, whenever Jesus went down to John the Baptist, and he went to John the Baptist, John the Baptist says, "I have need to be baptized of thee." And what did he say? "Suffer it now to fulfill all righteousness." The scripture must be fulfilled. And when Jesus come, he fulfilled the scripture.
Amen.
I know that baptizing in water won't save you. Like we heard this morning, I understand that. I don't believe in saved and lost. I believe if you're genuinely saved, you're saved for eternity. That's my belief. Now let me say this tonight. Well, Brother Branham spoke about that. But he said some of them pushed it too far. So then he said that God let Charles Wesley come. And Charles Wesley, they believed you could lose your salvation. They believed that. They believed you might be able to lose your salvation. Well, I don't believe you're able to lose your salvation. I believe that God saves you, you're saved. I don't think that God saves you one. Why would God save you to lose you? If God knew that that's the way you were, that's what it would be. God doesn't save you to lose you. God saves you for eternity.
Amen.
But that's besides the point. And here it was. Right down, they believed that. But God let them come for to counteract, to make a bond.
That's right.
Just like he said when he bought, it was a Billy Caller, one of the sons he took to buy him a pair of shoes. He didn't buy him the real pointy shoes. And he didn't buy him the real square ones. He bought them like in between. And he said that's where it is. It's the middle of the road. It's not two extremes. It's not an extreme one road or the other road. It's the middle of the road. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way.
Yeah.
Here a little and there a little. It says that the wayfaring man need not err therein. But you see how that all these things is. And you hear all this talk today now. They pull in three or four judges and they're going to rule what's the majority. They talk here about democracy. Democracy's all right here. If it suits them, it's democracy. But if it doesn't suit, it's not democracy.
Yes.
And another thing I want to say to you people in here tonight, you're all born again people. Believe in God and believe in His truth. Did you know tonight that according to the government, you don't have any rights whatsoever? You don't have any. Do you know why you don't have any? Because you're in the Laodicean age, and this is the time of people's rights. And it's the worldly people that has the rights tonight. It's the sodomites that has the rights tonight. It's the whoremongers. It's the evildoers. It's the wrongdoers that have the right tonight. You know, I could say something else here, but this is recorded. I'll not say it. But it's no wonder we have what we have. You know, the Bible says when the wicked rule, the violence never results.
That's right.
You know what I say tonight? I say, you know, it's not many of the leaders really. It's easier to pray for them, but there's not many maybe that I did pray for, but I'm going to pray for this woman, Theresa May. That shall have the backbone to stand up against these roots in England. You know, there's a name what is it? There's a name. You know, you look up in the trees and you'll see a rookery. There's a whole load of nests and trees and all. And people call that a rookery. But do you know what you call a whole collection of crows in your field? A flock of crows. No, there's a word for it. It's called a government of crows. I didn't know that to this evening. It's called a government of crows. And I was looking at a wee thing with a whole lot of different boards on, and they give you the rook, and it said along it would live 10 years, 12 years. And a group of rooks is called a government. That's what it's called. Gregor Rips, Rips, a gambling.
Well, there you are, not saying no more.
A parliament. A parliament. Sorry for that now. It's a group of rooks, it's called, I'm sorry I made a mistake there. It's called a parliament of crows. That's right, that's what I did read, a parliament of crows. So you see what it is, a parliament. But if you don't, you come out and say you're a Christian. You're all right if you're a Christian. But don't name the blood. And don't name that you have to live right. Don't name that you can't. You can dress whatever way you like. You put this on and you watch it and you come on and it's like watching Glastonbury.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, I don't understand. I can't. Is there something wrong with me? Am I wrong? You know, if I'm not right, I'd like somebody to tell me. But you know, I want to say this to you tonight. You take out the look at it. Now the works is genuine enough because the Satan can't open the blind eyes. He can't heal the sick. He doesn't heal the sick. But you know Jesus says in another place about the lion signs and lion wonders. And now how come that Jesus said to these ones when they come up and they realise their lungs are going out and they went, the Pharisee's wife wouldn't give them any oil. They said, go and get it for yourselves. Go buy for yourselves. We're not going to sell it. At least there's not enough for us. Go you buy for yourselves. And when they went, they found already that the five wives had went in and the door was shut. You know, I heard another man and he said there's a third group. He said there's a third group. Well, I wouldn't dispute with him. He's a very smart man. I'm not disputing with him or not downgrading him by any means. But I don't see any third group here. What I see here, I see there's five wise and there's five foolish. There's five that have oil and there's five that don't have oil. And you know something? God's a merciful God, isn't he?
Amen.
Very merciful. You know, I remember one day talking with a man, and I said, boy, isn't it a great thing that we're not God? And he looked at me. And I said, if we were God, who would get forgiveness? I wonder who would get forgiveness. Well, he's all right, but I can't have him. He's all right, but I can't have him. That's not what the Lord said. You know the Lord's Prayer, what it says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors against us, forgive. Not what he said, forgive those that trespass against thee. It says that we forgive them. It says, forgive us for our trespasses. You know, the Bible says you're to pray for them that despitefully use you. You're to pray for them. He says, if you've loved one for an hour, then by this all men shall know that you're my disciple.
Amen.
You see, tonight, here it is, you know, you find out that they it says they were wise, and then you look at these things today. And they say, oh, God's going to do this, God's going to do that. One man said, oh, that such, and he got it from some man of God. You know, I heard two men alone, they were talking about men of God. And one man said he had went to a certain convention one time. He went along with Paul Kane. And if he went along with Paul Kane, he knew about Brother Brown. But he never once named Brother Brown. And you watch all their programs and they will not name Brother Brown. Not by any means will they name him. Now listen, I'm not preaching a man to you by any means. You listen very carefully. But Brother Brown was God's prophet at the same time. And that was the voice that cometh to wake us up, to put us back to where? To put us back to what Paul preached. Amen. That we would have the truth of what Paul brought forth as his revelation. Amen. And Paul had the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I can tell you, I can prove it to you from the book of Acts. And if no man, I don't care what men preach, they can preach what they like. But if they don't preach what Paul preached, they are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, I listened to some man. He said this about that, about Brother Branham. He is such in a way, he'd bring out some teaching about Brother Branham. Listen, I tell you, you forget about all that.
You forget about all these tapes, about this or that. What you do tonight, if you want to know the truth, you go down, pick your Bible and sit down and listen to Brother Branham's messages. That's the message you need to hear.
Amen.
That's the truth you need to hear. For that truth points you, like Tommy said this morning, he wasn't worshipping the sign, but he believed the sign. But the sign points you to the sign giver.
Amen.
And that's Jesus Christ. The very works that he done proved to him, proved that he was God's
child. That's right.
They did. Look at the things that took place. Look at that man, I think it was a man by the name of William Hall. It was in the 50s, I think. And he was dying with cancer. Oh, he was bad. He was so bad at the last he could hardly tell. He had turned a yellow colour. And some of the doctors looked at him and said that he could not live. And Brother Branham went up and he prayed for him that God would raise him up. And he prayed for him, and he had prayed for him 2 or 3 times that God would deliver him and raise him up. And you know, the woman said she didn't know what she was going to do if God took him. She said she didn't. She was at her wit's end. And you know, Brother Branham was home in his own house, and he had got up early in the morning, and he walked into the hallway. And he saw this thing hanging in the air. It looked like a rotten apple. A green apple, a wee rumpy apple. And when he looked carefully, there was 5 wee green rumpy apples hanging in the hallway. He thought maybe they were on the wall, and then he realized they weren't on the wall. They were hanging in the air. Then he realized he was seeing a vision. And he saw this nice apple, a real lovely apple, appeared. A big apple. A nice apple that you would want to eat. And this apple swallowed up these 5 rotten apples. And Brother Branham, I don't know where it was, the woman he contacted or the man. But he said that he contacted Manuel. And he said he had thus saith the Lord for Brother Hall, that he would live and not die. And he said the 5 alone had been bad for, he had been really bad for 5 months. And he said the 5 rotten apples were the 5 months that he had been bad. And the good apples swallowed them up and he would be well. And you know, he went down to the man, to this man Hall, and he went in on the man, and he said to him, "Thus saith the Lord." And the doctor said, "It's impossible. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible."
Amen.
And you know, he seen Brother Hall, I think it was maybe a brown suit with a stripe on it, but he seen him in a new suit that he had got. And you know, he seen him walking in it, and coming in and sitting down or whatever way it was, but he seen him in this suit anyway. And he had said to him about the suit, and he said, "Yes, I bought it not that long ago." So when they were in the meeting, there was a man sitting in the meeting with a suit on. God had delivered him totally.
Amen.
And that's only one testimony. There's hundreds of testimonies. You know, the strange thing about it is this. The thing about it is this here. When Brother Branham told some of these people the things that he told them, when he told them the first harvest, sometimes when he turned round, he didn't really mind what he said to them. And he would say to them, "What did he say to you?" But now his ministry was unique. Now listen carefully, and I'll tell you why it was unique. It was unique because it was God, it was the angel that used his voice. He actually wasn't in control of his voice. It was actually the angel that used his voice. Now you might not realize that. But it wasn't that Brother Branham was coming up and saying such and such. It was the angel of the Lord that used his voice. And Oral Roberts could bring up 150 people and walk them all down past him and pray for every one of them. And Brother Branham done well if he could do for 10. Because it wakened him so much. That half time they tried him on the platform, he didn't know where he was. And the reason for that was that presence on that power. And he said to the woman when she came up one time, he says, "You realize there's something going on here that's not by man." He says, "That's him."
Right.
And you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful to people tonight or hurt anybody's feeling or criticize them. But whenever you, someone told me one time that a man, Jesus appeared to him and told him he'd come and play a game of football with him. And I said, "Do you think that would be right?" Well, yes, it's right. It happened. Well, I think it. I'll not say what I think. But I definitely don't believe it. But you know, let me say this tonight. There it was in this age. Now, how come that these men say different things from what God's prophet said? You know, whenever the man's wife was dying, was it Demas of Kiron?
Right.
When she was dying, they had prophesied in tongues that she would live. And you know, Brother Bram told his son, he said, "No, she'll die." And he said, "Yeah, but what about the tongues and the prophecy?" Mm-hmm. He says, "That don't matter." He says, "Anything that the angel has ever told me has always come to pass. It's never wrong."
Amen.
And she died. She died. So you see, God vindicated his servant. But you know, something in the early days of Brother Branham's ministry, I heard some of the early sermons of Brother Branham's, or some of the early days of his ministry when he was praying for the sick. You know, sometimes he didn't really preach in the sermon. All he done was pray for the people, and they would have an arm on anybody that would preach. But you know, I remember a man sitting down, he says, "I'm going to play you this sermon." He says to Brother Branham, he says, "It's a real good one." He says, "There's an arm on preaching. He's a good friend, Karen." And he played me this sermon, and the man said that fellowship with Jesus was a blessed Trinity. Well, that was all right. I never said nothing. I just listened to it. And you know, for a wee bit I thought maybe it was right. And then I started to think to myself, and I said one day, "I wonder, would this be right?" And I said to myself, you know, I'll start and I'll pray and I'll ask the Lord to show me the cause. Brother Branham says, you know, there's not three gods. There's only one God.
Amen.
But anyway, I went to the Presbyterian Church and went, they had the shorter catechism. And the shorter catechism says that God's three persons agreeing in one. Three persons agreeing in one. There's three persons that agree in one. Now, a person can't be a ghost. How could a person be a ghost? You're a person. You're not a ghost. There is ghosts. People may say, "Well, I don't know." Well, John Wesley's house was haunted. There was ghosts. You think John Wesley would tell you there was such a thing if there wasn't such a thing? You think he was mistaken? I don't think he was. You ever read the life story of John Wesley? He's a godly man.
Amen.
He was a man of God.
Right.
And John Wesley being that great, because of what he knew, he preached what he knew.
Amen.
He maybe didn't know what Brother Branham knew, but it was there, but it wasn't open. It was there. Same thing was there. But they couldn't. Some men were close to it, but they just didn't have it. They were, that doesn't take away from them. Don't misunderstand me. If you say, "Oh, you think there's nobody like Brother Branham?" No, no, no. There's nobody like Jesus Christ. But listen now. When Brother Branham was born, he was born. That light came into the room and hung over his mouth where he was born. Now you name me an arm on in this day and this age. And some of the great men of today, where have they turned back? They've turned back to mommy's coattail.
Sorry.
They might be preaching good enough, but you listen to some of these boys. They're not saying it outrightly, but they're hinting that way. And you pick today, you pick some of these boys. Look, that boy come on said he was the messenger, the Elijah messenger. How long did he last? A lot of weeks after he said it. And he was wiped out. And you look at them things today, and you kick on, and you say, pick some of these television evangelists and something, and one man, not naming any names, but the wife said that a wee thing come on, I'll not name the man's name, but he carried a cross around the world. And you say that was something, it was something. And he went out to countries, he come to Belfast and brought Billy Graham with him. And went into the pubs and talked to the IRA in Belfast. You know he took the mass. I said, brother, I wouldn't, I don't know. Oh yes. He went in, right up there, and the priest was giving, he said to the priest, he refused, he said, no, I can't take it to the continent. Then the priest says, one ahead, brother, you take it, you're one of us. So he took it. You know what the mass is? That's what they call, that's why in the Catholics, whenever they come into church, they come into church and they hunker down like that there. They're hunkering down actually what they think is to Jesus. They hunker down what's known as the host.
That's right.
On the host there's a sunbush. They have a painted up on somewhere.
Right.
The sunbush. Where did it come from? Come from Babylon.
Amen.
The worship of Nimrod.
That's right.
That's where it come from. Peter Roma. That's where it was, Nimrod. That's where it come from. Exactly. Now, I'm not going to go into that tonight, but you can, that's not hard to find out. And that's why they hunker down. And that priest takes that wafer. And when he takes that wafer, it's known as the act of transubstantiation. And he says that he has power to turn that wafer into the literal body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, was Martin Luther wrong? Martin Luther's whole thing was that was one of the things that he stood against.
Amen.
And another one that he stood against was indulgences.
That's right.
And they burned men in England because they wouldn't accept transubstantiation. They burned them at the stake, men like Ridley and Lattimore. They burned them because they stood for the truth.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You see where we're at. We're at. This is the time. That if you don't hear the voice, you might be deceived. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, he says, the mysteries will be with thee. What mysteries?
Amen.
The book of Revelation, through the white horse riders were, and the three riders went out when they became one. They come into the one, they went right out, rip right out. Same rider, only a different horse. That's what the seals was. Same rider, only a different horse. Measure a wheat per penny and so forth and all. Praying for your loved ones to get them out of purgatory. Where in the Bible do you read about purgatory? There's no such place as purgatory. Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The rich man died. Where did he go? He went to hell.
That's right.
He didn't go to purgatory. He used to sing an old song years ago. He used to sing that such a place as purgatory, and many glen you'll never get out. Well, I'll go with the rest of it. You know, it was like a sort of a, what would you say, slagging in a certain sense. But it's a pity of those people. They mean well, but it's wrong. And you know, they are after that priest after Christ. He's crucified him in Christ. He's after him. He says he's tired of turning that in. And that was what, even some of the Catholics don't believe it. There's plenty of Catholic students that wouldn't don't, but they say that's not right. They believe what we believe. They say, no, it's just a remembrance of it. And you know, Paul says, as often as you do this, you're eating the body of Christ, did he? No, he didn't. He says, as often as you do this, you're doing it in remembrance of him.
Amen.
You're doing it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. As often as you take this bread and take this wine, you see where we're at. Then you could walk around the world. Oh God, I'm not saying that the man was wrong. I'm not going to start to say now, look, that man's wrong. I'm not going to judge that man. I'm not going to judge any of these men. But the Word judges.
Amen.
This Word judges. And this Word knows. Jesus said, does man gather figs of thorns? Are you saying they're lost? I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying they're lost. But I'm saying to you to be careful. Don't waste your time wasting your time. If you want to listen to anything, listen to God's prophet.
Amen.
And you'll know then that you're right.
That's right.
For it's pointing you the right road. Now, was these men, aren't vindicated like broad arms. No, no way. They're not vindicated like But they might try to tell you that they are, that they know better. But they don't know better. And you know, I remember one time talking to men about the serpent seed. And one man said to me it was a fruit. It definitely was a fruit. I said it was. I said no disrespect to you or disrespect to your minister. Was it a turnip? Or a big cabbage? What was it? My grandma used to tell me it was an apple. She said it was an apple. Come down that tree, for God put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden for doing what you're doing. And I said, Sibber, for eating apples. Yes, you said for eating apples. Get down now. You ever want to be in heaven, you can't eat them apples. Green apples. And I come down and I thought to myself, I said, boy, it's some sense in that, isn't it? That God put them out of the garden for eating an apple. You know, you come along and you say to them it was adultery. Well, you say to some of these guys it was adultery, and once you tell them it was adultery, you look at them, and boy, I tell you, they light up. They light up as if they had a gun in their hand, some of them could shoot you.
Right.
You know the thing about Brother Branham, when Brother Branham discussed the things of the Bible, even with a man that was the rabbi, and even the other men, they said, well, I don't agree with you, but there's definitely one thing, there's a Christian spirit on that man, because he's a mild man. You see, you know, we have a fruit, and we should produce that fruit.
Amen.
And that fruit is love, joy, and peace, and meekness, and power in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what it is. But you see today, you see all this stuff today, and you hear all this stuff today, and if you didn't know the truth, why, you could easily think it was right. You could easily say, oh, well, now, that man done that there. We are not doing that. That might be. You mightn't be doing it. But let me say this to you tonight. Stay with God's word. No
Amen.
Matter what.
Amen.
No matter what the Bible says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I tell you this, and the Bible says that faith cometh and by hearing what? By hearing God's word. So your faith is built up by hearing the word of God. And if you know the truth, you'll know the truth, then God will open up the truth to you, and you'll know the truth. And like I said, them big box of books come in on the hand of the mouth. But you know the strange thing about it? He used to say to me, I know you're a good sound doctor, so we'll give you the books. So he would have slipped me an odd book every now and then. I used to say to him, get any more books lately? I said, he says, I have a tape here, you'll like to hear it. I got a tape, he says, I'll like to hear it. But he says, I'll only like you hear it, I wouldn't have to search here. But we lay all night in a wee room and prayed and prayed all night like John was saying. Prayed that God would move. And God sends a tape that the whole church should have heard, which they didn't hear. But I heard it. You know what it was? The anointed ones at the end time. You know what he said to me? He said, boy, that's blasphemous. I says, well, what do you mean? He says he called them bastards. Says, you know, it's a desperate thing. Must an awful thing. But you know, if God chastises you, if you don't receive chastism, what does he say you are?
Amen.
What does he say you are if he chastises you? If you can't receive it, you're what? Bastard. You're out of wedlock. You're not with these virgins. Now I tell you, it's a serious thing.
Amen.
It's a serious thing at this end time. We're at the end time. You know, all these things are taking place, are taking place. You look at these wives in England. Look at the fight that's in. Don't you think Rome's going to get up? Why, she's not going to give up easy now. The only thing that will deliver England is God. If God doesn't deliver her out of this at this time, there she'll win head, hook, and sinker, or whatever you say. That's the finish of it. If God doesn't deliver her, you know, whenever the Jews, you know, look at God. Like I was trying, the last time I was speaking, I was nearly trying to put too much in at the one time, and I hope I don't do that tonight. I really get a wee look at the time here. It's 7 o'clock now. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to keep you much more an hour, 5 minutes, or an hour, 10. I couldn't go through this all, no matter how I would do for it. I don't want to keep you too long because you have wains. I know what it's like to have wains, and you have to get up in the morning and you go to your work. And one thing and all, and we children in the morning get up and they're crying because they're tired and so forth. I understand them things, but just let me, if I can think back to what I was saying, let me just think back a moment or two. And you see all these things that you see before us today, and all this stuff that they have, and they want to stay in with Mammon. And you know their whole cry is here about it, will there be a hard border? Will there be a strong border? There never was a hard border here. Never. Because they always had the wee rules that they could slip over. And they always had the place they could smuggle their goods over, bring them over, vice versa, to sell them. They always had that. They never had any hard border. They had the hard border, just like a man said to me one time when the carriage was bodily done for here. There wasn't jobs for them. I said, oh, that's right, there wasn't jobs for them. But I says, let me tell you something, the race, and there wasn't jobs. They were all working and doing what was known as the double, and drawing the bread for by, and drawing milk in the system, and working at the same time. And you went in somewhere, if you needed a need, and you filled in the truth, you didn't get anything. But I'll tell you something, you're better with the truth any day, because that truth's going to come up, hallelujah. For Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, they talked about Billy Graham, it was sad. It was a sad day. And a man of God in this country, I think he was deceived. Well, something took place. Something maybe we can't explain. Something maybe we don't know about. Maybe must be some. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. But to sit down with what he sat down with. You tell me where they repented. They never repented. They'll not repent. You know why they'll not repent? They can't repent.
Amen.
My mom said to me one time, he said, you know, he said, the hook got saved. I said, did he? Who said he got saved? He said, he's standing up saved. Well, right, I said. I said, if I come down out and pull your Pharaoh was saved, would you believe it? Pharaoh. Aye, Pharaoh. He got saved. He got described in the Red Sea.
Amen.
You know why? God raised him up for the purpose that he raised him for. You know what I think? You know, do you want to read a good sermon? Do you want to read a real good sermon? You know, you'll read it. 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Mind that now. Go over and you'll read a real good sermon now. 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Somebody said, what would a preacher do? Bar find a sermon. You go over 13, preach the same sermon Paul preached, and you'll not be far off the track.
Amen.
You've been here enough for Mark.
Right.
And I tell you, he started back in Genesis, right down, come right down. Right down, you know. You know, I want to say something tonight to you. Let me, I can't start to go into this tonight, but I'm going to read them to you just for the thing. I look down here. Number one, 700 years before Christ was born, the prophet said he would be at a virgin, she would give birth. 700 years before, that's what the prophet prophesied. You know something? You know the coming of the Lord was prophesied before that? Do you realize that? Do you realize that Enoch was the seventh man from Adam? And he said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the earth. I wrote down here too, we are told the time of his birth in Daniel 9. And started off at Daniel chapter 9 and started at 24 and read to the end. And you'll see when the Messiah will come and when he'll be cut off. Whenever Daniel prayed and repented and fasted, God showed him when the Messiah would come, when he would be cut off. You know something else says? Then the prophet in Micah, in Micah 5 and 2, the place of his birth. That's where it was revealed in Micah chapter 2, where he'd be born. And number 4 wrote down, the details of his life and death are recorded in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. The prophet prophesied it. There he was again 700 years before he was nailed on the cross, the prophet's prophesying. You go over into read Zechariah chapter 14 and you'll see the return of the Lord, how the Lord's coming. I tell you tonight, we are close at the end time. And all these things are foretold in the Bible, and I wrote down here number five, the fact of his resurrection is stated in Psalm 16. I think Tommy quoted it this morning, didn't he?
Yes.
Thou shalt not leave his soul in hell, now wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption.
Amen.
God raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
He raised him from the dead. Boy, you know something. Somebody says, you know, I heard men trying to prove it by... You see fellas on, and I've seen him by on, and he's talking like an intellectual talk. He's good now. Like, I wouldn't have a clue some of the things he talks about. It's beyond me. But he can pick on these students and talk to them like an intellectual talk. But let me tell you something. I didn't need an intellectual talk. You know why? I seen proof that he was risen when I seen a prophet of God that could tell people their names and address. That could tell them what their diseases was. To tell
them
what they were.
Amen.
That had the same look at that the angel said to them as Moses had two signs. What time in our generation or in our day did a man ever hear tell that an angel called a man and told him that God gave Moses two signs he'd give him to? You know, it's not the voice of the man. It's the voice of the sign.
Amen.
It's his that's speaking.
Right.
Who is it? It's Christ. It's the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's spoken this last time again.
Amen.
What for? To prepare a bride so he'll be ready to go when he comes. You know, do you remember the last time that Brother Bothwick was here? I think it was the last time he was here. Or maybe it was one of them, but I some feeling on it was the last, maybe wrong. But you know, do you remember he spoke on the subject? A woman on a beast. Can you remember that?
Right.
A woman on a beast. You know, I think Brother Brockwood didn't realize the truth he brought that night when he brought that message. A woman on a beast. It was dealing with Europe, on the things of Europe, on the Tower of Babel, and so forth. What do they call the power? They call it the car, don't they? Babel. We're at the end time.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm going to listen. It's gone 7:10. That's me. Praise the Lord tonight. And thank you for listening. I didn't really, not like preaching, but maybe just like talking. But I hope I have encouraged you. Encouraged you to seek after the things of God. You know, no matter how hard it may seem, pray and read God's word. And always, never be hasty about things. You know, just pray and seek God's word. And see what God will do.
Amen.
Just let's bow our heads. Just a couple of moments just over here. Father God, I thank you tonight for thy truth. I thank you for thy word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what thou hast done even in this last day. And oh God, we'll believe indeed that you are going to visit your people. And Father, we do believe that we'll see these mighty signs and wonders that were spoken of in the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, to make the great things happen outside of it, we're not disputing that. But Father, tonight, we want to have the oil in our lamps. And we want to have them trimmed and clear that when you call, we'll go into the wedding supper. And Lord, we realize that you said that there was a great king and he prepared a feast. And there come in a man not having a wedding garment, and he said unto him, Friend, how comest thou in here without a garment? And Lord, he said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness with a weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, Father God, we pray tonight, Lord, bless thy people that are seated in this house tonight. And let thy hand be upon them for good, O Lord. And oh God, touch their substance tonight. Oh God, meet their needs tonight, Lord. Oh Father God, even young children, even wives tonight and husbands tonight in this house tonight, Father, we commit them to thee. We commit brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers to thee tonight. Oh Lord, all that are near and dear to us, we commit them to thee. For Lord, we know that your word's the truth. We know, Father, you'll watch over these things tonight. We know, God, that we commend ourselves to thee tonight. And oh Lord, we're hoping for thy coming, and we say like the writer of Revelation said, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Father, we thank thee at this time. Oh God, be with Tommy as he would travel. And give them wisdom as they stand before the people to open thy word, Lord. Help them to be humble before thee. And keep them, Lord, as the apple of thy eye, Lord. And O God, let the things that you spoke will come to pass in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for mercy. Lord, we could have been in some pub tonight. And we could have been dead, Lord, out somewhere. But because of your grace and mercy, Lord, we're here tonight. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the brothers that prayed, for the sisters that prayed. Oh God, when we were out somewhere, someone prayed for us. Lord, we just pray tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. And we pray, Father, we say, touch those that are near and dear to us. Let the Holy Spirit strive with them and bring them to the knowledge of thy salvation. For Father, we ask it tonight. Now, Lord, meet every need in this house tonight. Touch those that are at flus or colds or sicknesses, Lord, or oh God, even for the requests of our mansion this morning, Father, we commit them to thee. And we ask thy blessing now. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Praise God. Come on.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord good. Amen. Thank God tonight for his mercy and for his grace. You know, so many wonderful things that God said tonight. And you know, many times you think some things happen, God did things, nobody's seen it, nobody's responded. But you know, sometimes God has a plan far bigger than what we can see. And he has actually done something that we many times don't see. You know, when I could see it myself, I attended a wee meeting in Mullaparnigan. And there's a wee man, Robert, preached at that. And he said it was one of the worst 2 weeks of meetings he ever had. Nobody got saved. I was the only one got saved in all of the meetings for 2 weeks. And he didn't even know I got saved because I got saved in the car away from the meetings. But I got saved. And then you think of them folks that come to that wee church and Tremor. And you see some of them folks that come to that church in Tremor. I found them when I was 15. In a suitcase under my bed. Them same books that my dad mentioned tonight. For he had a brave lot of them that come out. That's where they come from. And I had the same books. Now you mightn't think, what's the significance to all this? But then you think of it when I'm in Czechoslovakia in 1991. And the angel comes in the room. And shows me the people that I'm with. That they're going into Russia. And he tells me, thou shalt not go. For they'll be arrested. And shows me the demons taking control of them. And then the voice audibly speaks and says, thou shalt depart from this work. Till another that I show thee. Why would all them things happen?
Amen.
For God to do something. And aren't you glad? And I'll tell you, we had a connection with Scotland through Ron Bartwick for a reason. And there's people sitting here tonight from Scotland. And I've led people to the Lord in Scotland. And all them things happened for a reason. And then we met John Noble, because we met Ron Bartwick. That's how I met John Noble, because of Ron Bartwick. And then through meeting John Noble, I met Brian Freeborn. Now I'm going to Australia. So everything God does for a reason.
Amen.
And it's wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
And I'm not saying I'm anybody, I'm nobody. But I believe God.
Amen.
And I know what the Lord's told me is happening. It's taking place. I'm seeing it. Thou shalt go to the furthest ends of the earth. It's happening.
Amen.
It's actually happening. God's doing it. And he says, I shall see thousands come. And I don't know how they're going to come, but the Lord said it.
Amen.
Do you believe it tonight?
Amen.
And you know what's wonderful? God moves you on. I was a real good brother until John took me to a Pentecostal meeting. Then that was a brother and finished. Didn't want the brother no more, moved on. I see the Holy Spirit work. And God moves you on, but he doesn't want you to go back to something that's dead. He wants you to go on forward with the things of God. Praise God. And I'm going to say someone else. There's people, you know, that have been seeking God in secret. Fasting and praying in secret that nobody knows about. And the Bible says, him that fasts and prays in secret and enters into the closet, God will reward openly.
Amen.
So I believe there's good things God has for you tonight. Praise God. Are you glad you're here?
Amen.
Amen. My servant, I'm telling you, I don't think he's can realize enough, you know. Honestly, I'm thinking when I'm home this morning, when I said about that young man that got saved, home this morning, you know what I was thinking? Do you know why that fellow was so serious? Because he knew the darkness he came out of. He was effective. Because he was glad of the darkness he came out of. And I know I come out of a bad place. The Lord saved me from a lot. And I thank God for tonight. Look how the Lord's moved in our home. And look, there might be many of us here tonight. But I'm not discouraged. Because I know what God can do.
Amen.
And God can do it quicker than you can bat your eye when God starts to work. God can do it. God can bring a family in overnight.
Amen.
Just overnight. Look at the young brother Stephen. Ian witnessed to him when he came in. Then his mother came in. Then Edward here came in. There's the whole family. How did that happen?
Amen.
Was it by chance? No, God done it. God done it. God done it. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. Are you happy tonight?
Yeah.
Everybody hears a testimony, haven't you? How the Lord spoke to you and dealt with you.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now I'm telling you this testimony, and I'm going to get a brother Guy to come. And I know you're praying for me to go. It's hard for me because anointing's here now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Presence of the Lord's in this room. You know, T.L. Osborne was so effective in his ministry because he only needed to see what he did see with William Branham once. That's what he said. One time he saw it. And look how God used that man. But here's the thing I never knew. That a preacher my age, and 10 years ago, he met T.L. Osborne's sister. Now her name wasn't Osborne. He quoted her married name. I can't even remember it. But he took a camera with him. She was 80 years of age. And he said, "Sister, would you tell me some things you've seen the Lord do?" And she says, "Brother Luke, I wouldn't want to tell him in case you think I'm boasting or making myself out to be something." And he had to coax her to talk to him. She was very humble. And she says, as he talked with her, she said, "Well, if one thing comes to mind, I'll tell you this testimony." And this was in America years ago when you had no sat navs and all these wee phones. And I'm telling you, if they were going to go. Now listen to this. She says she got a phone call from these people and they rang her and they said, quoted her name, and they said, "We don't go to church, we're not saved. But we heard about you and we looked you up in the phone book and we found you. And we have a wee baby that's dying. And it's dying, it's dead quite a time, and we're just waiting on the undertaker coming, and we're in an awful state. Because we don't go to church, and we want you to come and pray with us. And talk with us. Will you come?" And she says, "I will come." And she got in her car, and it was snow on the ground. Isaac, snow. And it took her an hour to get to the house. And when she got to the house and she got to the door, the Lord showed her the house inside before she ever went in there. And he showed her the room the baby was in. Ever before, she was never in the house, but God showed her. And the woman and the people in the house opened the door and she walked straight past them. And she went left, right, left to the room for the dead baby was. And she lifted the dead baby in her arms. And she rebuked death and asked the child to live. And the arm of the child dropped. And the child started to scream and cry and came alive. And she walked back out and they stopped at the door. And they said, "We didn't ask you here to pray for the child. We asked you here. We wanted you to talk to us. Look what the Lord done." That's what God can do. That was a wee woman that could be led by the Spirit of God. Isn't the Lord wonderful?
Yes.
raised that child from the dead. I believe God tonight.
Yes, sir.
That God can show you into the house you've never been in. He's done it with me. I knew it. I seen a woman's house on two occasions. Never in the house. God showed me in the house. Every room, everything, all the details. Happened twice. Very good. God can do it. God does things for a reason.
Amen.
And the Lord's brought us to these wee meetings for a reason. And don't be discouraged tonight. God does all things well.
Amen.
Praise God. I want a brother Gary to come, and the Lord bless you as I was going to say, as you go. As you go, as I go. God bless you. No, but that encouraged me when I heard that. I'm under expectation that God will do something. And I want you to be under expectation here that God will do something.
Amen.
And I'm praying, and if you're praying, I'm on both ends of praying, God will move. The Lord bless everyone here.
Let's stand our feet and pray the Lord, don't let it be on the same. Lord, you are the precious thing. We'll sing it until we go.